What I'd like to do, what I'd like to talk about in our time together is entitled Beyond the Veil, Discovering Divine Mercy. And I've broken it up into three sections, which might be helpful for you to remember. The first is Beyond the Veil. The second is Beyond the Past. And the third is Beyond Control. So let's begin. Jerusalem, 33 AD. Place yourselves there together. In the days after the passion and death of Jesus, the disciples, those early disciples, were deeply shaken. The young church was off to a rough start. Those proud disciples, celebrities, they might have thought themselves at Jesus' side, on Palm Sunday, had turned to shrunken shadows, hiding in locked rooms, cowering from the officials. We're familiar with all of the celebrated accounts of those eyewitnesses, those lucky, privileged few who got to see Jesus. But the predominant experience of that first Easter was doubt, distress, and fear. Remember, the master who they had loved, the one that they had followed, and the one that they thought would bring liberation, was rent from, nailed to a cross, and there he died. Surely this wasn't the conclusion that those disciples wanted. But there on the cross, we are given an image, an icon of divine love. As he hung upon the cross, as he had breathed his last, a lance from the soldier pierced the side of Jesus' body. And simultaneously, analogously, at that moment, the veil of the temple was torn. And these two events are important to understand what is going on. The veil of the temple would have stood between the people and the Holy of Holies. There, before the veil of the temple, priests would have come to pray and to offer sacrifice on behalf of the Israelites. And just once a year, one man would go beyond the temple. What go beyond the temple to pray for forgiveness, to repent on behalf of the people. That veil was a barrier, you could say, between God and the people. A barrier put up because we weren't worthy to enter into the presence of God. And at that moment, when Jesus breathes his last and the lance is cast into the side of Jesus, that veil is torn from top to bottom. Amazing. What does this mean? It means that when the side of Jesus is pierced, that you and I have access to God's heart. You and I can enter into the presence of God, not because we are worthy, but because he has beckoned us into his presence. He has removed all obstacles, all barriers, all that has kept us apart from him for generations and generations. That lance pierces the heart of Jesus and outflows blood and water. Now, what we know from a medical perspective is that in times of distress, because of the asphyxiation of the that torture that Jesus would have experienced, that the heart would have swelled with water and fluid. And as the lance drove into the heart, it's understandable that water and blood would have poured out. But what the church sees in this is also a great analogy, that from the heart of Jesus flows the sacrament of water. which is baptism. From the heart of Jesus flows the sacrament of blood, which is the Eucharist. And from these sacraments pouring forth from the side of Jesus, the church receives new life, regeneration, renewal. Beyond the veil, we encounter mercy. And mercy, mercy isn't something that we earn. Mercy isn't something that we have a claim to by justice. The scales are not even with mercy. God has paid us over and above anything that we could claim any right to. Mercy is unmerited gift, and it restores us to friendship with God, and beyond that, it invites us to share in divine life. That is divine mercy, and it flows from Jesus' wounds. Just as from the side of Adam, a rib was taken, and from that rib comes Eve, so too we see in the new Adam, new life flowing from his side, and from that life, the church. What does Jesus say to this new, young, scared church? He says, "Put your finger and see here my hands, and bring your hand and put it in my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." What Jesus says to Thomas, this is what he says to the church. He beckons us beyond the temple veil to place our hand on the fount of mercy, the human heart that beats with divine love. This is where we're beckoned to go. And this is where we experience healing. We experience a love which we've never encountered before, which radically transforms our human experience. You and I are called beyond the veil. Second point, beyond the past. Divine mercy, as Thomas has showed us already, is not a new theme. Actually, it's the oldest pattern of God's plan. This plan is woven throughout the Old Testament, blossoms in the New with the coming of Jesus, but it doesn't end with Revelation on that last chapter of Scripture. It continues down through human history. This desire for mercy was reiterated, especially in the life and testimony of Saint Faustina Kowalska. If you haven't heard of this amazing saint, I encourage you to do a little research on her. There was a recent movie that was just released, just in time for us to watch it. It's out on Amazon if you want to check it out. But to give you a little summary, Helen Kowalska was born in 1905, the daughter of a Polish carpenter. She's one of 10 kids accepted into the congregation. The Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy. He's a spokeswoman, just as he did to those apostles in the upper room in Jerusalem. And he trusted to her, again, that perennial message of mercy. And she recorded all of these conversations in her diary, which she was later requested to publish. And all of its content is important and interesting for our spiritual edification. But one entry in particular bears significance for us today. I'd like to read that to you. It's entry 699. Faustina writes, "On one occasion, I heard these words, 'My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the fount of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which graces flow are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. End quote. Beautiful. Jesus is asking St. Faustina in this entry for the establishment of a feast of mercy. And Pope John Paul II later inaugurates this, according to the divine wishes, the first Sunday after Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday. And what is the promise that Jesus attaches to this feast of mercy? That he will pour out an ocean of graces. An ocean of graces. Hard perhaps to imagine, but this is what it looks like. Complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. This generous offer is almost missed in its absurd simplicity. Complete forgiveness. Remission of all punishment due to sin. The heart of God today stands open and exposed, and he invites you to extend your hand beyond the veil. Rest your hand in his wounds, in his hand, in his side. Receive complete forgiveness and remission of all punishment. And how do we do this? He asks us to go to confession and receive Holy Communion. Two things we can't do today, perhaps. Most of us don't have the ability to receive communion. Most of us might not have access to a priest. But Jesus isn't limited, we know. And so for us to receive this great promise, this great indulgence, we have the ability to make a perfect act of contrition. To say to the Lord, despite not being able to get to confession, to say to the Lord, I seek forgiveness. I repent of all my sins. And then when we have the ability to get to confession, to go as soon as possible. And for our communion, even though we can't receive communion today, perhaps, to make that spiritual communion. Lord, even though I can't receive you in the Eucharist, I invite you into my heart to receive all the graces of the Eucharist in this moment when I'm deprived of access to that sacrament. By that act of contrition, by that spiritual communion, you and I have access to the heart of God, to this ocean of graces that he desires to pour out on his church today. Go to the font. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to go to the font. Yes. We can't go outside, yes. We're restricted from our normal favorite activities. But today, you can cut off all of your time in purgatory. You can receive forgiveness. That is an awesome thing to do in a time of quarantine. Make the most of this time. Jesus opens up and beckons us to go beyond the veil, to receive that flood of grace, which he desires from all eternity to give us, beyond the past. The third point is beyond control. The soul that abandons itself to mercy lives a radical trust. The soul that cries out, "Jesus, I trust in you," lives with a supernatural perspective, one which makes him invincible to all of the claims and ideologies, fears, anxiety that the world keeps us. The soul that abandons itself to mercy is not immune to suffering, but invites an ally, a divine ally, into the arena, which changes the game. But mercy is not just a two-step with Jesus, you and Jesus. Rather, after we've turned in, placed our hand on the heart of God, we turn out. What does Jesus say about mercy? He says, "Blessed are the merciful," yes. But he says, continues, "For they will receive mercy because they are merciful. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." It's not just you and Jesus. He invites you to go out and be merciful, you who have received mercy. St. John Paul II, a disciple of mercy, he canonized St. Faustina, inaugurated Divine Mercy Sunday, and was later died on the eve of that great feast. He says, "It is not easy to love with a deep love, which lies in the authentic gift of self. This love can only be learned by penetrating the mystery of God's love. Looking at him, being one with his fatherly heart, we are able to look with new eyes at our brothers and sisters with an attitude of unselfishness and solidarity, of generosity and forgiveness. All this is mercy." Yes, you and I are called beyond the veil to place our heart on the heart of God. Hand on the heart of God. But this action allows us to synchronize our hearts with God. It's like a divine Bluetooth. We pick up those sentiments of Jesus, and our heart begins to beat in accord with his. All this is mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. As we have our hand on God's heart, our hearts begin to beat in rhythm. And we feel what Jesus feels. We begin to love as Jesus loves. Divine mercy takes up in our heart, and we become an icon. We become an image of divine mercy in the world. This was something that St. Faustina experienced. In her diary, she writes, "I feel tremendous pain when I see the sufferings of my neighbors. All my neighbors' sufferings reverberate in my own heart. I carry their anguish in my heart in such a way that is even physically painful. I would like all their sorrows to fall upon me in order to relieve my neighbor." This isn't the word of an ordinary woman. This is a woman who's gone beyond the veil. One who has seen, received mercy. And God enters into her soul and is able to love through her. She's synchronized hearts. She's got the Bluetooth connection. And she's broadcasting divine love. All of this is mercy, John Paul II says. When we synchronize our heart to God, our love is beyond control. It's radical. The world has never seen anything like it, except upon the cross, beyond control. There's a beautiful story of mercy. A priest in California was finishing his Sunday obligations, saying Mass, hearing confessions, and returned to the rectory exhausted. And as he sits down, you can imagine, as he puts his feet up, the cell phone rings, and it's the hospital, and they inform him that an old man is on his deathbed and is asking for the sacrament of anointing of the stick. So the priest jumps up, gets in his car, and he drives over to the hospital. And there he meets an old man who explains to him that he is dying of cancer and that he wishes to be reconciled to God, but he knows that he's not worthy. He knows that he's not worthy, and he thinks that he's not worthy of eternal life with God. And he explains why. He said that I used to be an alcoholic, and on one night, as I staggered home, I was walking along the train tracks, and there, stumbling along the tracks, I tripped and I fell, and I lifted myself up on a short pole along the tracks. And little did I know, but that pole was a rod which changed the direction of the train tracks. As I pulled it up, the tracks shifted. I left not knowing what I had done. But a few moments later, I heard the train coming. And instead of carrying along its normal trajectory, the train shifted there at the rod that I had pulled. And it continued several hundred yards. And its lights fell upon a young mother and her daughter. And there on that night, full steam ahead, the train killed that young woman and child. And Father, I know that because of what I've done, the Lord could never forgive me. The Lord could never admit me to heaven with him. I'm beyond forgiveness. I'm beyond mercy. And that priest has been weeping through this story. And he says to him, my brother, the Lord forgives you. And I also forgive you, because that woman had another son. That woman had another son which she left at home that night, and I am that child. That was my mother, that was my brother who died that night. And I would like to say that I forgive you. I forgive you. The Lord all the more forgives you. That day, the man in the hospital bed received the sacrament of confession. He received the sacrament of anointing. And we pray, God, that he now sits with God in heaven. No person is beyond mercy. There is no sin which could exhaust the infinite ocean of God's love. There is no one that has barred access from God's presence. Nobody is worthy of their own, but all have been beckoned beyond the veil into God's presence. There, he who is mercy and love itself. On this Divine Mercy Sunday, we celebrate the oldest motif from God's heart. That is mercy. Today on Divine Mercy Sunday, the floodgates are open. Brothers and sisters, you got to go through. Make that spiritual communion. Make that act of contrition. receive all that God is desiring to give to us today, because he desires all to come to him. Write your own diary. He's speaking to us, and he desires to transform the world through you. All this is mercy. Beyond the veil, beyond the past, and beyond control is the story of God's mercy for us. We'll take a few moments of silence, and as we recollect all that the Lord has done in our hearts, all that he desires to do through us, we'll conclude this time of retreat as we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet together. We'll take 2 minutes before entering into this prayer.